A new jobs report out this morning from the Labor Department crushed expectations. Employers added more than 500,000 jobs last month, despite high inflation and fears of a recession. It does put some wind in the sails of President Biden and Vice President Harris, who will talk about the economy in the battleground state of Pennsylvania this afternoon. They will be together, appearing very much like a team, getting ready for the 2024 election.
And in D.C. politics, Republicans voted to kick Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar off the Foreign Affairs Committee. And the GOP is blaming the White House for a suspected Chinese spy balloon in U.S. airspace. Take a seat at our Friday Politics Roundtable. We welcome Eugene Daniels, White House correspondent at Politico, and Scott Wong, senior congressional reporter at NBC News. Hello to you both.
Hello. Hi there. Thanks for having us.
Eugene, let's talk about this balloon first. The Pentagon is monitoring this, now floating over the middle of this country. The Defense Department spokesman, Pat Ryder, says this is not a threat to people on the ground. Let's listen.
We know this is a Chinese balloon and that it has the ability to maneuver, but I'll just leave it at that.
And once it's over a body of water, will you shoot it down?
Again, right now we're monitoring the situation closely, reviewing options, but beyond that, I'm not going to have any additional information.
So we're waiting for more information, but Eugene's not too early for politics, is it?
No, not at all. White House officials had kind of been in a good mood thinking about U.S.-China relations as they were improving. Biden met with the Chinese President Xi Jinping in November. Secretary of State Blinken's trip that was postponed today was supposed to be kind of like the kickoff to more robust conversations and in bettering relations with these two, with our two countries, that is clearly on the back burner at this point. And you have, you know, Republicans and Democrats here asking for a lot more information. We have almost none. Obviously, over Montana, John Tester, the Democratic senator, also kind of coming out against the administration, saying he's ready to hold everyone accountable until he gets more information on this.
So, Scott, we've got this problem with this balloon, but what else is there? Because you've written recently, welcome to the Seinfeld Congress. It is a show about nothing.
Exactly. I mean, if you think about this year, we started off with this Congress with 15 rounds over 5 days to just elect a Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, and that was Republicans fighting amongst themselves. The Senate only voted 3 times in the month of January, which is a lot less than it normally does in a new Congress. They held votes to designate January National Stalking Awareness Month. Just yesterday, they designated January again to be National Trafficking and Modern Slavery Prevention Month. That vote was unanimous, meaning they were just doing these votes to try to kill time. In addition, a lot of the House and Senate committees are just forming now, which means that these lawmakers have been sort of twiddling their thumbs, waiting for committees to hold hearings as they've tried to constitute and organize their committees. And so I talked to Jerry Connolly. He's a Democrat from Virginia. He said he has very low expectations for this Congress. He called it probably the least productive Congress he's anticipating in modern history. And the reason for that is because, number one, you have a divided Washington now with Republicans in charge of the House. You have a very narrow majority in that House of Representatives, which means they're going to have a tough time just getting their own agenda through the lower chamber. And we're in a presidential election cycle. And when you combine all of those things, just not a lot of stuff is going to be happening on Capitol Hill other than trying to avoid fiscal catastrophe with the lifting of the debt ceiling.
Well, I guess to Scott's point, maybe you can't blame Americans listening to yada, yada, yada coming out of Washington. But Eugene, I want to ask you about the congressional committees. Republicans voted to kick Congresswoman Ilhan Omar off the Foreign Affairs Committee. She accused Republicans of targeting her because she has already apologized for widely condemned anti-Semitic remarks she made a couple years ago. Let's take a listen.
I am Muslim. I am an immigrant, and interestingly, from Africa. Is anyone surprised that I am being targeted? Is anyone surprised that I am somehow deemed unworthy to speak about American foreign policy.
Now, House Speaker McCarthy defended this vote, which other Democrats claimed was retribution from kicking some conservative Republicans off their committees a few years ago. Here he is.
It's not tit for tat, but I think in moving forward, every single member of Congress has a responsibility to how they carry themselves.
Eugene, what's going on here?
Political retribution, essentially. You know, when you talk to even Republicans kind of behind the scenes, they will admit that this is something that they were already worried about. Speaker McCarthy almost didn't have the votes for this because there were a few members who said they did not want this to be a tit for tat. They didn't want this to continue. He kind of convinced those folks to change their votes after making some concessions about what future votes like this might look like, what it might look like for Democrats and Republicans to adjudicate whether or not they feel like they should be actually kicked off of these committees in the future. But that's not what happened with Ilhan Omar. She's off that committee. And I will say, you know, the difference here between what happened with Marjorie Taylor Greene last year when she was pulled off committees and voted off committees by Democrats is that Ilhan Omar was, you know, her own team condemned her. Democrats condemned her from the very beginning of the remarks that she made that folks said were and felt were anti-Semitic. She had apologized. She had started to do more work and change the way that she spoke about, you know, different things. Marjorie Taylor Greene did not do that. Her and Paul Gosar, who have both had said anti-Semitic things, are both on their committees. And I will say, one thing, and Ilhan Omar talked about this during her speech, is that she's not going to stop talking. And I will say, if you look at how Marjorie Taylor Greene, after her being off her committee, spent the last year and some change, is that she is more powerful than she was before in her own party. And so it's possible that by voting Ilhan Omar off of these committees, a lot more people know her name. That means that she has a lot more political power, and she clearly has the will to be a burr in the side of Republicans as they move
and
forward.
And she's going to be on the budget committee. She'll have a voice there, of course. Yeah. Peter?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, Scott Wong, I think it's interesting that McCarthy was able to win over a handful of these reluctant Republicans who didn't necessarily start wanting to kick Omar off this committee. Do you think that that is a sign that McCarthy might have similar luck trying to get divided Republicans on board with the debt ceiling debate, which, of course, is the cap on how much the government can borrow to pay its bills?
Well, the debt ceiling is going to be a lot more challenging for McCarthy than booting Ilhan Omar off the Foreign Affairs panel. But, you know, this week underscored the challenge for McCarthy and his GOP whip team, because this vote on Omar almost didn't happen at all, given some of those defections. There were a handful. He was able to twist some arms and get everyone marching in the same direction in the end. But it took a lot of effort. And now, you know, President Biden sat down with McCarthy for the first time this week since McCarthy became speaker. And they talked for more than an hour about the upcoming fiscal cliff. And, you know, what came out of that meeting was not a deal, but, you know, just some very, you know, positive words from McCarthy. I think a lot of us were surprised. We thought maybe he was going to be a little bit more combative and fiery as he's being pressured from his right flank from these conservatives. But in fact, you know, he said they had a good conversation and they would agree to keep talking. The White House's position is that they should not negotiate at all on the debt ceiling. McCarthy and the Republicans want some serious spending cuts tied to any sort of lifting of the debt ceiling. You know, there's a wide gulf between the two parties on this issue, but it was striking the tone that McCarthy struck when he came out and talked to reporters after meeting with Biden.
Eugene, we have a little bit of time to talk about police reform. The Congressional Black Caucus met at the White House with President Biden yesterday, and the White House is talking about pushing this issue as well. Any chance it will go anywhere this term?
It's hard to see. I hate to be the negative Nancy on the issue, because there's a lot of political will in Democrats and some Republicans. And I was at the White House when the CBC members walked out and spoke to reporters after their meeting with President Biden. And they seemed tired. It was a very long meeting, almost nearly 2 hours. It was scheduled for 45 minutes. They said they brought up to President Biden that they want to see him use the bully pulpit more, specifically, and I've talked to them for over a week now about this, they want to see him use the State of the Union to do so. And on legislative, executive actions, and the community-based actions, the three categories they're looking at, they're not sharing mm-hmm. what has been agreed to, but they promise we will hear more moving forward.
Yeah, there's the music. We got to wrap it up. The State of the Union, by the way, next Tuesday night. Eugene Daniels from Politico and Scott Wong, senior congressional reporter for NBC News. Thanks to you both.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.